Technology always advances, but it also matures and becomes less lucrative. That's one reason Lockheed Martin is spinning off its cybersecurity services business. Yet Dell is betting $50 billion on EMC, a manufacturer of several mature technologies. What does it all mean for the federal market? I asked Jonathan Aberman, the managing director of Amplifier Ventures and founder of Tandem NSI.
When you cut through it all, I'm not really sure that Lockheed Martin's going to spin out anything that's going to be particularly interesting. My guess is that they keep the high margin businesses and try to spin off the services businesses. And I think that's the biggest issue right now in government contracting, that the service industries, basically the margins are just terrible. And so there's not going to be a lot of investment. If you look at a lot of the players, Booz and others, they're running away from the service business. I'm not sure Lockheed Martin's going to be able to spin this thing off as easily as they think.
I guess when you look at cybersecurity services, there's the high-level consulting where you design systems and really look at strategic
right.
issues. And then there's the operation of centers where people are simply gathering information, looking at network monitoring. That's becoming almost a commodity type of service.
Well, I think it always was in some ways a commodity service. You know, anytime you're providing human beings to do something, fundamentally, it's very hard to differentiate. And so we as business people would use the word commodity to describe anything that's not differentiable. The difference is that it used to be the federal government was more tolerant of people making more money doing that. But that's just those margins have just gotten shrunk as the government's tried to save money. What you're really getting at, Tom, is that we're entering a period of time here in Washington, D.C., where we've been reliant for so long on federal dollars. And as you and I have discussed in other segments, the way that the federal government is looking to spend money is becoming much more interested on getting value for service or value in some way other than put a body over here and outsourcing. And I'm not really sure that the local government contractors, particularly the large ones, have completed their change in business models to reflect that.
And we just talked about a spinoff. There's also a major merger with Dell taking over EMC, which is looks like a completely financial type of decision. And those are both major federal contractors, have been for many, many years. What does this all mean?
Well, it's significant to me that Dell, which many of us still think of as being a company that produces tremendous personal computers and electronic devices, went private in order to have the freedom to become a services company. And so the ability for it to now chase EMC and try to buy a public company in what will be, if it's completed, one of the largest, I think $67 billion. It's not as large as AOL Time Warner, but it is a big, big deal. I think that it shows you that it's a lot easier for companies to pivot when they're private than in the public markets. Again, that's one of the problems the government contractor industry is having. The large ones in town are all public companies, and they've had to try to support their stock price by buying things back because they're having a hard time innovating. The reason why I think the Dell EMC deal is so interesting for our community is that while EMC is big in storage and consulting services, Dell wants to go in that direction. But Dell is a private company, and when it was a public company, always made sure it had an ecosystem of small businesses surrounding it. If you look at Dell, a lot of small product technology companies around the country are in partner programs with Dell. That's the way they build their ecosystem, and that is a model that a lot of the large Silicon Valley-based technology companies use. They create these strategic relationships. Frankly, the government contractor community here in town focuses more on teaming agreements where you try to tie somebody in to a long-term contract where effectively you make it impossible for them to nimbly compete for contracts other than through your prime IDIQ. And that inhibits the interest of small businesses in being part of a prime contract with a large government integrator. So this deal may ultimately be best for the small businesses here in town because it creates large scale and two players who have a traditional interest in working with innovators the way they like to be worked with.
Jonathan Aberman is the founder of Tandem NSI and of Amplifier Ventures in Northern Virginia. All right, so both of these cases, the EMC takeover by Dell and the spinning off of cybersecurity by Lockheed, are evidence of maturing markets, well-established markets. What do you think will be the opportunities for the innovators now that the behemoths in various areas are acting like mature players do?
Well, the tension always is when markets mature, and many would argue that in a lot of ways the software market is maturing, the way that you compete is through scale and by having better control of your margins. It's what we would call in the business community a red ocean market. meaning that literally it's the image of sharks fighting with each other and the ocean is red with blood. The challenge of the issue for small businesses is how do you find a blue ocean where there's opportunities? What we have right now, Tom, in many industries, for example, I wrote in the Post, it was online today, about the Exxon-PepsiCo merger. We have industries now that are heavily concentrated. And the government contract and defense industry is one example of that. I think, Tom, that ultimately what's going to be the biggest issue of whether or not small businesses can find ways to innovate in areas like artificial intelligence, batteries, robotics, cyber, personalized medicine, and others is going to be whether or not the federal government allows things like commercially off-the-shelf technology to be brought into the value chain, whether efforts like what's going on in Silicon Valley with DOD or DHS going out to Silicon Valley will be tied to contract innovation to make it easier for small businesses to come in. I'm not sure we're there yet, to be honest.
And what about the attractiveness of small businesses to venture capitalists? And they do this, they look at small businesses in a variety of fields, or, you know, in publishing and so forth, where you get venture money or equity money taking over what had been going concerns. Do you see that that happening that much in this market?
So venture capital financing nationally was down last quarter from the standpoint of number of deals. The dollar amounts were very high, historically high, compared to many recent years. The issue right now for our market is that in many circumstances, we just need to be focusing on refilling the cupboard. This industry, whether it's cyber, robotics, and so forth, in many respects is nascent. And a lot of the innovators that are here in town have been growing their businesses on the back of federal contracts and grants. That's the way we do it. There's not a lot of capital right now available from venture capitalists for these businesses because a lot of them haven't reached the point of maturity. Money is always a lagging indicator in any market, and Washington is no exception. The reality here is that there are more millionaires here that have made money from the government and federal R&D than any place in the country. There's a lot of dry powder, but it's in the hands of angels and more traditional places like banks, mezzanine funds, private equity, and so forth. So I don't think venture capital is ever going to be the way our region grows. I think that if we had contract innovation and we had the larger government contractors approaching working with entrepreneurial startup companies the way companies like Dell and Amazon and Microsoft and Google do, that's when you'll really see this region explode.
And on a very localized or temporal note, the continuing resolution doesn't really mitigate in favor of that kind of innovation and seeking innovation because you can't start anything new and fresh under a CR.
Well, I think that's true. The bigger issue for me is what's going to happen with the agreement that we had with the limitation on the sequestration limits for the last 2 years. A lot of folks here in town have looked at the economy for the last few years and said, we survived sequestration. Well, actually, what happened was the limits were increased. With all that's going on, the dysfunction in Congress, that possibility of a omnibus deal leaving those limits high, I don't see it right now, particularly if you look at what's happened with the Speaker of the House and the Freedom Caucus downtown. I don't believe that whoever becomes the Speaker of the House is going to have the same freedom to cut deals with Democrats than John Boehner did.